part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Well, good evening to you, and welcome to the Monday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It is the 2nd of December 2024. It is the beginning of the last weeks that are remaining for the year 2024. I hope that it's been a good year. I hope that it's been a year that you can, as it goes into history, look back at with I suppose the benefit of hindsight, as our politicians would normally say, and you'd look at it and say, well, I tried. At least that's the best and the minimum thing that we can do, right? It is to try. But I wish you nothing but the best for the remaining of December. And for those of you already taking holidays, I just want to say happy holidays to you. But we are here still keeping the main thing, the main thing. And today is a Monday, and every Monday we do this thing called personal finance, because it's really, really important. And it's kind of, these are the kind of conversations we should be having as we prepare for 2025. So that then means that we need to do a little bit of reflecting. So today we're reflecting on money lessons of the past, not 1 year, not 2 years, not 3 years, but we're going as far as 4 years ago. So the economic disruptions and uncertainty that the world faced back in the pandemic years may have been pushed and has pushed many to take a hard look at the way they manage their money and maybe even redefine their idea of financial security, particularly looking at leaving a legacy, financial wealth and all those sort of stuff. So in today's conversation, we want to look at some of the money lessons that we've learned over the past few years since the pandemic and how we should be applying them today. And to help us with that, it is our good friend to the show. It is Floyd Monetsi. Good evening, sir. And once again, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Tapelo, and good evening to your listeners.
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. Happy to be in the new month.
Yes.
It's a day or two into the new month, and looking forward to the quieter festive season that we always experience here in Joburg.
Yeah. Are you already like scaling down a little bit of work and stuff and projects?
Yeah. Things have already started quietening down, and I anticipate that the next the next week or so should really start slowing down quite nicely as we get ready for the holidays.
Tell me you're going away somewhere, or at least you'll be off work for some 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah, looking forward to a long weekend at the beach sometime within the next 10 days.
Look at that. Going to the beach, you say. Which beach are you going to?
I'm still debating with my partner. She's quite convinced that we should go towards KZN.
Yeah.
I haven't been to the Western Cape in a very long time. I suspect that she will win, as these things tend to go. But I think we'll make the decision within the next day or two.
Fantastic. She must win. She's the queen of the house. So she must
otherwise,
win.
Otherwise, it will be a bumpy start.
No, it will be a very bumpy one. We don't want that.
No, for sure.
We don't want that. But yeah, thank you so much, man, for joining us. Really appreciate you. We're talking about reflecting. You know, I was actually thinking as I got to this topic, and the first thing in my mind, I thought, I think it is Confucius who mentioned that we learn in three ways: by reflection. So that's the first, and saying that we also learn by looking at other people as well. I think there's a Zulu saying or idiom that says, "Indlelibuzwa kwaba phambili." So you look at those that have traversed the journey and you learn from them. But one of the ways of doing learning, I suppose, is reflecting. And I thought, what a way to think about reflecting, eh?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's really quite important to often take a breath. To take a look back at the circumstances that you've survived through over the last week, day, and as you said, not just 1 year, but multiple years, so that you can glean the lessons out of that and do better moving forward.
Yeah, fantastic. So those lessons are really, really important. And I know motivational people, and I'm digressing here a little bit, but I know that motivational speakers, and I respect them for their craft, would say, you know, every single day as you tire and get to rest for the day, it's important to take one or two moments of, you know, your evening to just reflect on how the day was. Maybe we need to do that a little bit more so that at least when you take a stock of 4 years, because 4 years, going back 4 years sounds like it's a mission on its own, but it's the daily habit that can help us to then scale up to a month, a year, 2 years, 4 years of reflections.
Yes, that's absolutely true. I think taking a slightly longer term view is always very important when it comes to matters of personal finance.
Yes.
When we take a short-term view, often the opportunities or the reasons why we manage our finance are very different to those from a long-term perspective. I think you mentioned in your introduction about the importance of always of also thinking about things like legacy and so forth.
Yes.
And issues of legacy are not short-term. It's asking yourself the deep and difficult questions around do I have everything in order in the event that if something goes wrong for me today, that my family will be better taken care of? Am I ensuring that the next generation is better than the current one? And I think that's why when we look at the bigger themes of personal finance, a longer term view is absolutely important.
Touching about that, reflecting on personal finances, you know, the other day I was just reviewing some of these papers and insurance, and then I realized a gap. I was like, ooh, actually, I didn't see this gap the entire year. And you think you are fine. You think your finances are looking good. You are insured where you need to be insured. Only to find that there's a gap somewhere in your insurances and whatever else you've insured. I think that was such an eye-opener for me. But it underscores exactly what you're saying. Personal finance is more long-term. And as you do that, I suppose you'll find gaps here and there that you might not have seen. Or oversight, you know what I mean? And you then realize, no, man, I must close this, I must close that gap and all that. So it's important to do that, very, very important, on a constant basis. Review those insurance policies, review, I suppose, your life cover, review that legal document that has to do with your last will and testament. You know, all those things are really important on a constant basis for that matter. I suppose it being the end of the year is an opportunity for people to just reflect on that.
Yes, absolutely. I personally always take the end of the year to do that. It's not something that I'm perfect at, but something that particularly, as you pointed out, in the last 4 years, I think since the COVID pandemic, our lives might be trying to get back to normal.
Yeah.
But they have not ever been the same.
No, they haven't.
And, I think there's a lasting impact of the experience that we went through where we suddenly realized that things can change very quickly and our circumstances can be shaken with very little notice. I remember the amount of time it took from us to be driving and living freely to the amount to the time when we were on lockdown and we couldn't even drive to the shops after a certain point in time. And I think that experience taught me now to say, hey, it's quite important to take a step. Well, firstly, to always be prepared for certain circumstances, but also to take time to reflect on how well you are doing from a financial perspective.
Yeah, fantastic. I want us then to look at those reflections and lessons. But before we get into that, you know, one would say some of the realities that took place back in the time of the pandemic, perhaps, you know, surprised people and people were like not really prepared for them and the shutting down for the entire year or two and all that. That on its own must have been, and as I reflect back as well, the toughest times for the world, eh?
No, absolutely. I think when we look back at that time, some people were privileged to have employment that would have, you know, sustained their income, employment which would have allowed them to work from home on the internet and so forth. But if you think about the many, many people whose jobs required them to be within a certain environment, whose jobs required customers to come physically to a store. I'm thinking about waiters and waitresses, people in the retail industry, people in the transport sector, and all those sectors that were directly affected by the lockdowns. It was a torrid and difficult time for many of those people. And I think there was a big lesson to be taken out of that, and that anything can happen in this life that we
Sure,
live.
anything, eh?
If we rewind to people who may have lived through periods of war, they may have been able to relate. People who lived through the Great Depression in the US may have been able to relate to that. But for many of us in the postmodern era, call it post the 70s, 80s, that really was a shock to the system. And I think for me, lesson number one that we can take out of the last 4 years is actually anything can happen, so stay prepared.
I suppose the reality of the fact that our jobs are not secure was perhaps one of the things that came to the fore, because I think a lot of, particularly your middle class professionals and maybe your higher up, didn't really get so much surprises or a shock of the reality of, you know, their work, their earning potential and all that. But if you look at the middle class, I suppose, and going down, those actually came to the realization that things are not as secure as we thought they might be, being a professional accountant, being a doctor, for example. I know doctors perhaps were inundated at that time, but I think a lot of professionals, you know, were actually, you know, kind of shocked to realize that even your job might be at risk as well. As much as you were secure the last 10 years before the pandemic, you're doing very well, driving a nice car, please staying in a nice house. But we heard and read about even professionals losing their jobs during that time.
Yes, absolutely true. I think many people, I think we tend to fall into a false sense of security when we go through a prolonged period where everything is okay. But as you've pointed out, beyond perhaps the upper middle class and the upper class, for lack of a better term, many people were actually quite surprised because, as companies were going through the pandemic and so forth, they would admittedly say, "Hey, we're not selling, we're not doing as much business, we can't afford to pay you your normal salary. We have two choices. Choice number one is to retrench, choice number two is to halve your salaries." And sometimes it was a combination of the two. And therefore, people who for years had been saying, "I'm a middle class person, I can afford my bond, I can afford my second car, I can afford to take my kids to a private school," suddenly found themselves under quite a bit of
A
pressure. And
bit
I
of
think the
strain.
lesson there really is, because circumstances can change with very little notice and things can become very difficult, it's quite important to always be prepared. And also, I guess there's a lesson there around living not within your means, but
Below.
beneath your means.
Yes.
Because sometimes living within our means simply assumes that our means are always going to be the
Yes,
same or better.
yes.
But what happens when you live within your means and then circumstances suddenly change, and even the little bit you are getting is no longer enough?
Okay. I want us to then paint this picture, right? Because one would argue that the experience of the last 4 years, particularly from the pandemic itself, has created two polar opposites in terms of behavior. I suppose one being very and extremely cautious people, neurotic and anxious in trying to control their financial well-being as much as possible, because one, either they lost their job at that time and were blessed enough to recoup and get one 6 months later or whatever. But that experience, I'm sure, was like very shocking. And so they became very extremely cautious, neurotic to an extent, and very anxious in their finances as well. And you then find those people as well, almost to a fault that is not theirs. And they were trying now to protect themselves and the ones that they love from the same disaster. Because 6 months of not working when you are used to working, when you are used to a certain salary, is in itself a very bad thing. So you have these type of people. And then on the other hand, Then you have those that say, oh, well, it's going to be what it needs to be. I think there's a saying that says, que sera, sera, something like that. Whatever's going to be, it's going to be, right? And then you find an extreme end of that type of group of people where young people say, you only live once. And maybe that has exacerbated their irresponsible spending. So how do we strike then a healthy balance between the two extremes? Well, they do sound extreme because neurotic on one end, you only live once on the other end.
So I think it's just like with everything else in life, Tapelo, it's really about finding a balance. I think there's no extreme that is good for you. As Adventists, sometimes we talk about things like the health message.
Yes.
If you are to eat healthy to a certain extreme, and I say, and I know that statement sounds a bit strange, because healthy eating should be infinitely good for you.
Yes,
but if you eat certain types of foods to a certain extent, while neglecting other types of foods, there is a danger that you will still find yourself unhealthy and deficient of key nutrients that you require.
Yeah,
it's the same from a financial perspective.
Yeah.
If you deprive yourself of spending on certain things that are important, and I'll give a simple example. Some people have gone to the point where they stop investing in medical or life insurance. And they simply say, I will eat healthy, I will cut down my costs, I will not have medical aid or life cover or whatever it may be.
Yes.
And what then happens is, while they might be generally healthy, there are genetic issues that may pop up, and you might not know that strokes are in your genetic line.
Sure.
Cancer is something that you are likely to get because your great-grandfather had it. And when some of those things then get you, they can ruin everything that you've done from a financial perspective because perhaps you were being too frugal while trying to manage your expenses. Of course, there's the other extreme in that you can say that we only live once and you can go to the point where you spend so much on short-term priorities that the long-term issues become neglected. And I think one way of looking at that is when people are quite extravagant in their living in their earlier lives and suddenly they find themselves in their mid to late 50s and retirement is around the corner or it's becoming increasingly difficult to get a new job because they are taking younger people rather than the older people. And you are now looking retirement down the line and you don't have enough to sustain you in your sunset years. It really, Tapelo, is about finding that balance. And to me, finding that balance is by making sure that you have a non-negotiable list of priority. Those priorities could be around making sure that you are investing in your health, investing in your legacy. And I often like to say that life cover is legacy building.
Yes,
and we can have a big debate about that one
it
day.
Is.
But your health, your life cover, insurance for your main assets, those things are all quite important because if your house burns down or your car has an accident, you want to be able to recover on that. And then, of course, making sure that you can fund a balanced and comfortable lifestyle where you are not being too extravagant, not being too frugal, but living a comfortable lifestyle so that your family, yourself, your kids can live a life that is positive. At the end of the day.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And there's a couple of things that you mentioned there, but I want to let you on this one because yesterday I had the privilege of being invited to this event or conference that was happening with young people. And one of the questions that they asked was, what is the difference between being stingy and saving? I was like, oh my goodness, never thought of it like that because I mean, my first take was that I think saving, it means you've got a goal of some sort, right? And you're saving towards that. Or maybe even at times, which would be a little bit too careless is saving without a goal, because you might just dip into those savings because there's no goal attached to those savings. So that's the one bit. And being stingy, I think it's when you have resources, right, and you can do certain things, but you just deprive yourself of those things for no particular reason, except just to say, I don't want to spend on these things. So it made me think about it as you're talking about the frugality part. And I once attended a conference as well early this year around April, and there was a professor from Birmingham, and he was talking about frugality and the concept of being frugal in the midst of uncertainty was such an important and amazing concept. And when I think about it from a personal finance point of view, and you raising that frugality, saving, stingy, how do we navigate these things?
So it's quite an interesting one, Tapelo, because I think in my mind it's quite clear.
Yeah.
Saving is all about putting money away for your priorities.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means that you have some future goals, future issues, future things that you want to make sure that you have finance for, that you are working towards paying for your master's or a deposit for a car or perhaps a rainy day fund in case of emergency.
Yeah.
So there's a very clear intent and goal and something that you're working towards.
Yeah.
On the other hand, stinginess for me is quite simply perhaps an unwillingness to share. There's a word in the Bible which they like to talk about, which is being selfish.
Yes.
Stinginess goes hand in hand with selfishness.
Sure.
And it's often about simply saying, I want to keep what I have for myself.
Yeah.
I don't want to share.
Yeah.
And when you have that mindset, sometimes it gets to the point where you are not even willing to share with yourself.
Yes.
Because you are constantly saying, let me hoard my money. One day I'll figure out what I'll need to do with it. But for today, I will deprive not only others, but myself
but yourself,
as well.
And
not spend this money. And that can be quite harmful in that it not only affects the way that you live your life, it affects the quality of your living in that there are things that you could have been enjoying without being financially responsible that you can no longer enjoy.
Yeah.
But it also affects your relationships with others as well. We are social beings. We have families, friends, and so forth.
Yeah.
And you, I'm sure you've experienced this, but no one wants to go out to dinner with a stingy friend.
No one, definitely.
With a stingy friend.
Yeah.
Because they will show up expecting everything, having contributed nothing. And I think that's the danger of being extremely frugal to the point where you're constantly seeking to take advantage of financial situations in your own favor in a selfish way.
Yeah.
Rather than perhaps finding the right balance where you can say, I mustn't overspend, but there are certain circumstances where I should spend for the quality of my life, should spend to share with others, should spend because it's actually a positive situation, etc., etc.
Yeah. I mean, if your calculations and your mathematics balances in a way and you've got a fair view of the future, just get that Porsche sometimes, you know, just, you know, don't be that frugal that you'll be like, no, even if things look much better, you don't want to have a Porsche because you're like, what if the economy turns? So what if you get into a car and you get into an accident? We don't necessarily stop driving because there are accidents on the road, right? We pray and we hope for the best, and then we get into our cars and we drive. So if you've got a fair view of the future, you balance things out, you realize you've got extra cash flow, even with a Porsche, you can still be below a certain level and you're still fine. And don't be that frugal, don't be that stingy and affect the quality of your life when you can get that Porsche a bit. Here's me advocating for a Porsche for 2025 and 2026 there, Floyd, you see.
So, as you were saying that, I was wondering, has Capello been stalking my Instagram? Because I've been posting a lot of Porsches.
Look at that!
So that God will take a hint in 2025. However, Tapelo, I think my Everything in me agrees with you.
Yeah.
But I think the realistic advice I would give
Yeah.
is a Porsche can take you from point A to B just as efficiently as a BMW
No,
will.
it can.
And
Yeah.
yes, a BMW is a luxury vehicle, is not an entry-level car, is a bit pricey.
Yeah.
However, when you look at the concept of balance,
Yes.
you
Yes.
could go for a Corolla, and please, listeners, I'm not shooting down anyone. It's
Yeah.
a Corolla or a
Yes.
Porsche.
Yeah, no, you're not.
But you could go all the way down and drive a Ford Figo,
Yeah.
or you could drive a Porsche. But there's always something in the middle which could allow you to still experience a bit of
Yes.
luxury or comfort as
Yes.
you travel,
Yeah.
while still making sure that you are financially responsible.
Yeah.
And of course, for Porsche buyers, perhaps the Porsche is in the middle. At the top end of it is a Rolls-Royce or something
Yes,
else.
definitely.
As long as you are maintaining a balance where you are living not within your means,
Yeah.
but beneath your means,
Beneath your
I think
means.
it's a smart strategy for long-term financial stability.
Yeah, I think God must just try me with, like young people say, a couple of trillions, not even trillions, but
Billions,
trillions.
yeah.
Let's see what will happen. I just want to see something, you know. God can just, you know, test me a little bit in that one. Okay. As we draw then towards the close, I want us to then, for the sake of our listeners, because I think we've touched on these things a little bit here and there in this conversation, but if we're to itemize then the lessons that you think we should have learned or people would have learned over the last few 4 years or thereabouts, how would you itemize them?
So I'll give you five lessons
Yeah.
that I think I've learned over the last 5 years, and
Yeah.
I'll talk through them very quickly. Number
No
one,
problem.
as I said right at the beginning, stay prepared.
Stay
Why?
prepared.
Because the COVID-19 pandemic showed us the importance of being ready for unexpected events.
Yes.
I recall being at work on a, it must have been
Yeah.
March the 20th. I had
Yeah.
just resigned my job and I was going to start a new one.
Sure.
We had been hearing whispers of COVID. One day I was in the office,
Yeah.
actually on a meeting,
Yeah.
with some colleagues. We got a call from someone who said, "Floyd, are you in the office? Get out."
Yo.
And I didn't quite understand what was happening, but I then looked around and saw people around the building running out of the
Oh
building. And
my.
it turned out there had been an announcement that three or four people in our building had been
Yo.
diagnosed with COVID-19.
Yo.
And
Yo.
I rushed out of the office. I barely said goodbye to my
Oh
colleagues. A
my.
week or two later, I was starting a new job. And that was the last time I saw many of my colleagues in that
Sure,
organization.
sure.
And I think it took almost 3 months before I was sitting in an office with people again.
Sure,
And
sure.
within that 3 month period, people lost their jobs,
Yeah.
people lost their livelihood,
Yeah.
people got retrenched, people sell halved, and people difficult financial circumstances. And I think for those who are readers of scripture, you will know that the Bible does warn us of pandemics, of famines, of natural disasters, of wars, and of more difficult times to come. And while, of course, we could quickly pivot this into a spiritual lesson about being spiritually ready for those things, I
Yeah.
think it's quite important that as we live in this earth, we're also financially ready for the unexpected.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So that's lesson number one.
Yeah.
Lesson number two is really about practicing financial discipline. And I think it contributes to number one. And I think I've mentioned this two or three times already. Live beneath your means. And part of living beneath your means is simply embracing a concept of delayed gratification,
Yes,
which
yes.
means that sometimes when Black Friday comes along the lines, as it's been this past weekend, sacrifice those short-term luxuries so that you can benefit from greater financial stability in the future. And I think that talks to that long-term view.
Yeah.
Sometimes you really want those new sneakers,
Yeah.
or that TV at Makro is discounted so much that it just seems too good to be true. But if the sneakers you have can still allow you to run under six minutes per kilometer, and that TV you have still works, hold off for a little bit longer
Hold
because
off.
simply being financially stable will benefit you more in the future. So that would be lesson number two, practice financial discipline. And number three, I guess, is find ways of growing your income. And I think we've chatted about this quite a bit on this platform. And this is about trying to multiply your income streams. And often the only thing stopping us from multiplying our income streams is just fear or doubt or a lack of self-belief. But the advice I want to share with you today and with our listeners is just start something.
Start
Even
something.
if, yeah, even if it's just giving the kids next door assistance with their homework, and you charge a few hundred rand a day or per lesson, or starting a little garden and selling your tomatoes or your onions to your neighbors, whatever it might be, whatever side hustle it is, or even if it's simply putting money into an investment for the first time, and not accessing it every time you're under pressure, letting it grow and generate some interest income for you. Find a way to start and creating your first or your second additional income stream over and above your main source of income. I think many of us have jobs or a primary business that we may have, but if you can multiply that to two, to three, to four, that puts you well on your way to financial security. Fourth one, I'll shoot through this one, which is really plan, plan, plan. I think we chatted about this quite a lot. We've spoken about budgeting on this platform and making sure that you are very clear about your financial priorities and that you can stick to your budget no matter what happens to make sure that what comes in covers you for all your expenses, but also allows you to pay yourself first in terms of creating some savings and putting some money away for a rainy day. So planning and budgeting is super important. But my last point that I'd like to share is seek God first.
Amen.
There's a promise in scripture, and I like this from a financial perspective because it is one of the few verses where God tells us that he gives us the things that we want and need. But the condition on that one, and we find this verse in Matthew 6, verse 33, which says, seek first the kingdom
Kingdom
of
of
God
God and
and
all.
his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. And the words that I'd like to circle are these things. And these things can refer to that house that you and your family desperately need. The food that you need to pay to get your kids through school, the bills, the medical bills that you need to cover because one of you suddenly were unwell for a period of time, that capital that you need for that business that you want to start next year, the deposit for that car that you need because your old car is breaking down every day. God sees all of our needs, each and every one of them, and he knows our needs even before we say them. And he will supply them as
Definitely.
long as we are faithful and obedient to him. And for me, that is going into 2025, that is my number one financial principle, dedicating my life to the service of God
Oh my.
and trusting him to meet all of my needs, as he has promised in Matthew 6, verse 33.
No, that's beautiful. I want us some other time to circle back on this one around creating multiple streams of income because I think one job, like you said, is no longer enough these nowadays. So one has to
No.
find a second one, maybe even a third one. If you can push it to fourth and fifth, I think you'll be setting yourself up for greater success when it comes to your finances. And then I would really want us to circle back at some time on that particular conversation. But I believe you've got a magic wand for 2025. Any way, advice that we can set ourselves up better to win next year?
I think it's finding that balance of living beneath your means without overly depriving yourself. And I think the question you asked around what were the terms you used? I think saving and stinginess. But I'd like to say that there's a fine balance that we can live, where we live beneath our means, not within them, but beneath. So what I'm asking is go a step further than just saying, I earn 20,000, I will spend 20,000. So find a way to earn 20,000 and spend 17. And there's a way that we can do that, but without depriving ourselves of some of the small little luxuries that we need to have. And as a man, that still means making sure that you are getting those flowers for birthdays or Valentine's
Very
Day,
important.
buying the kids ice cream from time to time, getting yourself that new tie or those new socks that you much deserve
Yeah,
as a man.
definitely.
Apparently, that's all we deserve as men, ties and socks, and so forth. Finding that financial balance. Because I think it's when you walk that balanced line that you are much more in control of your finances. In the event of an emergency, you are much more prepared. And also, when opportunities come for you to invest a little bit in creating a new income stream, you are better prepared for that as well.
Fantastic. That's really amazing. And it's those happy socks, right? So those happy socks are really, really
Absolutely.
important.
The colorful ones, yeah.
And then the ladies are expecting a little bit of flowers here and there, those nice chocolatey things. So create as much space as you possibly can to, I suppose, take care of your woman every now and then and just share with the kids as well. Because if you're living right at 20,000, your birthdays and anniversaries and important things like your children's birthday becomes things that are really difficult for you to do. And you never know what things might look like. Prices are going up next year. So you really don't want to be living at 20,000, earning 20,000 at all.
No,
That's just
absolutely. And
disastrous.
I think the point I mentioned about taking care of your spouse and your children is quite
Yeah,
important.
it
There's a
is.
saying which says a happy wife is a
A
happy
happy
life.
home. Yes,
And
definitely.
I think usually when you invest a little bit in the people you love and care about, they will also reciprocate and invest in you.
Yo.
And when you find that you are also being fed and nourished and cared for in the same way that as a man you are providing for others. Of course, it seems like a man's talk now, but you'll find that the reciprocation more than fills your cup.
It
It
does.
also motivates you to do better.
Yo.
So that's just a little point for my brothers out there.
Yeah, I think the ladies are going to love you, and Mrs. Munetsi as well is also going to be smiling and saying, "Yes, that's exactly what we want to hear there."
She's grinning as I look at her right now.
Ah, look at that. That's amazing. Well, Flight, we've run out of time, but as always, thank you so much for your insights. Let me give you just a moment for reflection and round it up for us.
No, Tapelo, I think it's been fantastic having these conversations with
Indeed.
you and your listeners. And
Yes.
I pray that as we come to the end of this year,
Yeah.
we can stop and take a time to reflect on the
Yeah.
lessons we've learned this
Yeah.
year, over the last few years, over the last 4 years as we
Yes.
parted off. And firstly, learn valuable lessons
Yeah.
from everything that we've been through. What
Yeah.
we've done well, let's continue to do it. Where
Yeah.
we've stumbled and fell,
Yeah.
let's try and learn those lessons and do better.
Yeah.
But I think what's quite important is to anybody who is listening to this conversation, the fact that you are here and alive and healthy today is a testament to God's
It
faithfulness.
is.
And I think the most important thing we must do is take a moment to thank God for his provision and his sustenance and his care over our finances. And as we go into next year, let's continue to put our trust in God, put our faith in God, and trust him to provide for everything that we need. As I said, Matthew 6:33, seek God first, and all things will be added to our lives.
Will be added to our lives. I know you are an elder, so with the powers vested in me as an elder as well, I'm just going to say that Porsche next year, please don't leave me behind when you are driving that Porsche, or else I'm going to come to church just for that Porsche.
When I negotiate my little piece, my Porsche, I will make sure to try and get a good deal for you.
Look at that. Thank you so much, my elder, and God bless you.
Same to you. Thank you, Tabelo.
Thank you so much. That was Elder Floyd there talking to us about, well, the last 4 years when it comes to our finances and what are some of the things that we can take into 2025. Definitely. Nkulunkulu, that Porsche, please.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.